You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com. Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to another edition of the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. Last week, we celebrated the crowning of the UConn Huskies as NCAA champions on the podcast, and this past Monday, we turned the page and began the WNBA season with the merger of the college and the pro worlds at the 2013 WNBA draft. For the third consecutive year, I had the pleasure of attending the draft, and we're proud to give you today one of our fastest-paced, craziest podcasts as we jump from player to player to player that was in attendance at the WNBA draft. Just like in the past, we have a mix of press conferences and one-on-one interviews with the draftees. I know you're going to like it. While the draft itself had very little in terms of surprises, it was a great way for the league to begin the 3-C era with the selection of Brittany Griner, Elena Deladon, and Skylar Diggins, 1-2-3 to the Phoenix Mercury, Chicago Sky, and Tulsa Shock. The day started with WNBA President Laurel Richie greeting the media and sending everyone's prayers to those involved in the day's tragedy in Boston. President Richie talked about being bullish on the league's future and answered questions. With all the PR that is being set up for the rookies, I asked President Richie my question.
Laurel, David Siegel from HoopFeed.com. Well, we have three great, transcendent, potentially players. Before that, we had Maya. Before that, we had Candace. Before that, we had Diana. Should there be any concern that we're rehashing the rookie saving the league type of attitude as opposed to just also mentioning the fact that we have these unbelievably talented players that have won the Olympic gold medals and have done so well internationally?
So I would not at all characterize it as three rookies who are going to save the league. I would characterize it as three phenomenal players entering into a league that has more than a handful of phenomenal players. So I think, to me, it is an additive thing. And that said, I don't think anyone would argue that Brittany Griner is unlike any athlete we have seen in a very, very long time. So I don't ever hang, the players do their job on the court, and I'm excited to see these three on the court. And then there are a whole host of other things that happen to continue the league and continue to make sure that we're growing in the ways that we want to grow.
After that, President Richie adjourned to the studio to greet the people from television and to begin the WNBA draft. So we started off, as we mentioned, 1-2-3, Griner, Deladon, Diggins, and here's how that went.
With the first pick in the 2013 WNBA draft, the Phoenix Mercury select Brittany Griner from Baylor University.
Hi, Brett. David Siegel from HoopFeed. First, congratulations. My question for you is, you're joining a team that has an abundance of talent with Diana Taurasi and Penny Taylor and the rest. What do you want to bring to the team that is extra to help push Phoenix right to the top?
You know, defense is my favorite thing. I love defense. I feel like I can be that defensive stopper down in the low post. And just, somebody come in there, send themselves to half court. And just bringing the dunking element of my game to Phoenix, just that, that excitement. I mean, I feel like everybody would love to see me throw up that alley-oop when I catch him, just slam it. So it's just bringing my defensive threat and the dunking and the blocking shots and just the high energy, I play with, bringing that to the table. I think it's very important to have a great fan base. As players, we feed off of that. And, Phoenix already have a great, fan base. And I hope, me going to the team can help bring out even more and turn, non-basketball fans into basketball fans and bring out even more people and just pack the house every night, because that's what we need, just to help out the league, packing out that house every time and just having the fans into it.
With the second pick in the 2013 WNBA draft, the Chicago Sky choose Elena Deladon from the University of Delaware.
If somebody told me that in 5 years I would be the number two draft pick going to the Chicago Sky to play my professional career, I would have told you you were crazy. I'm going to learn a ton from these players, and just I think it will also elevate my game. And, you know, we definitely have a great team. I felt like I was a really good puzzle piece for this team. And, you know, you don't want to say where you want to go before this is all happening, but Chicago was definitely my pick, and I wanted to go there really badly. I want to leave a legacy there, without a doubt, and I will work incredibly hard and play my heart out for this team. I mean, with Sylvia being such an incredible post presence in there, I think that is going to be amazing, because obviously they have to guard Sylvia, and they also need help to guard Sylvia, so I'm going to be able to spread the floor, and I'm going to be able to create a lot of room on the court. So if they want to help off of me, we're going to be able to kick it and shoot a three. If they don't want to help off of me, Sylvia is going to have a field day in there. And then not only that, you know, you've got Courtney Vandersloot, who can make any pass possible. She sees the floor better than most point guards that I've ever seen. And then Epiphany Prince, who can just score the ball anywhere. And then Swing Cash. I don't even have to say anything. She's absolutely amazing, and she's someone who I'm really going to look to as a mentor and have her guide me as best as possible and get me to be a better player.
With the third pick in the 2013 WNBA draft, the Tulsa Shock select Skylar Diggins from the University of Notre Dame.
Skylar, David Siegel from Hopefield. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Two-part question. First of all, you're going to a team that is building from the ground floor up, and they've added a couple players last year, and now you're going to be a big piece this year. Can you talk for a second about the transformation from a contender at Notre Dame to a team that's going to be rebuilding? And also,
May I answer that first one before
sure.
I forget? When I entered Notre Dame, you know, we lost in the first round of the tournament the year before. And it's the same coming into a similar situation. We haven't really found our niche yet. And Coach McGraw and our team, you know, I try to come in and be a leader right away. And I think that by the end of my career, we had brought the program back to an elite level. And I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to get to Tulsa, try my best to show my leadership skills and the skills that made me so successful and my team so successful in college. And I hope it translates. And I'll try my best to do whatever Coach Klopp wants me to do. And whatever that role may be, I'm going to play it to a T.
And just the other part of that was, how excited are you now to finally, after these years, to be teammates with Candace Wiggins?
Well, you know, Candace and I are so close, and she's such a great teammate. If you see her, she's one of the most supportive teammates, like a cheerleader. And I know she's excited for her new role coming into Tulsa, where she'll be more of a leader and a veteran who is going to take on a lot of responsibility. And like I said, I'm excited to come in with so many good players, Cole Powell, Shante Black, Kenny Paris, and just Raquana Williams, and just some of the opportunities that I see in those teams where we can be successful. My mom always says I'm bossy, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, I love to run the show, but at the same time, I respect the players that are there and what they've accomplished in their careers thus far. So I know how to get people the ball also, whatever role I need to take, if I need to score a little more, or if I'm relying on distributing, if they need me to distribute. I think some of the new rules this year, defensive 3 seconds for the three-point line, will open things up for a point guard like me who likes to use space and use the floor. And I think we have players that will go great in the pick and roll and pick and pop.
One of the fun things about being at the draft is you get to catch up a little bit with some of the coaches that are there as well. And it was nice that I got a chance to talk to one of the big influences in Skylar Diggins' college career, and that is the former WNBA point guard assistant coach for Notre Dame, Neil Ivey. And I asked Neil about Skylar Diggins and her leaving Notre Dame and what it means to her.
Your baby's from the coop, though.
I know. They're sad. They're great, but sad day.
She really has seemed to, as much as she talks about Muffet, she really seems like she's got that real bond with you and that you've taught her so much as a point guard.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about what you feel your influence is on Skylar?
I think just from the whole recruiting process, we bonded just very close, and obviously being a point guard, me doing what she wanted to do as far as being, you know, at Notre Dame, being an All-American, going to the WNBA, all the dreams that she kind of you know, wanted to have as a young girl, seeing myself, and she watched me develop, watched me play at Notre Dame. I think it was just a special bond we had. But I mean, she's so awesome. She just was a coach's dream. She worked so hard, and you know, work didn't even seem like work with her on the floor, because she's such a great competitor, and we just had so much fun.
I'm going to ask you the other way too. Yeah. What has been the impact of Skylar on you?
Oh my gosh, she's challenged me and made me better. You know, because she, like I said, like, she's just a special. She has that X factor. She just, you never really. You players like Skylar come around once in a lifetime. Well, luckily we have Jewel Lloyd as well, but yeah, she comes around once in a lifetime. So she's made me better, challenged me to be a better coach and a better person.
Hi, I'm Elena Deladon, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
So the joke that was being made was that after the first three, the Washington Mystics had the first pick of the second draft, because nobody quite knew who Mike Thibault was going to take with his pick at number four. There was a lot of discussion about bigs. There was a lot of discussion about guards. And Mike Thibault sort of surprised a few people. I know that I had thought he was going to take Kelsey Bone, the center from Texas A&M, by taking Taylor Hill, the guard from Ohio State, who averaged over 21 points a game this past season. But a lot of people didn't get a chance to see her because of the fact that the team had a down year and did not make the NCAA tournament.
With the fourth pick in the 2013 WNBA draft, the Washington Mystics select Taylor Hill from Ohio State University.
Taylor, David Siegel from Hoopfeed. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Taylor, you're the first person taken that wasn't in the NCAA tournament this year. So for the people that may not have seen as much of you as some of the other players, what would you tell them that they should look for out of your game?
I'm definitely passionate. I attack the bucket. I'm very fearless. I attack the bucket. Doesn't matter who's in there. I'm going chest first, right into you. Like I said, basketball IQ is another thing. My deep threes. So just a very passionate player that's ready to come to play every time. Very fearless. But I'm really excited to get to the next level. Like, the coaches at Ohio State did an excellent job of preparing me for this, so I'm excited to play with Coach Thibault.
Taylor, Doug Farmer, DNP. The first three picks, everyone kind of knew where they were. Did you know you were going forth to Washington before this? I mean, were you expecting that? Or is it kind of nice that you're, like, the first pick of the second draft, so to speak?
I didn't know for sure. I've talked to a few WNBA coaches. I've talked to Coach Thibault a few times. He's really excited about me. And I've heard a lot of great things about him. So I'm excited. It's really a feeling that you can't explain.
So the New York Liberty have brought Bill Laimbeer back to the WNBA. He's already made a bunch of moves in terms of trades and getting some players off of his team, adding some new pieces, and he had the number 5 and the number 7 picks in the WNBA draft this season. Now, this is another person that, you know, he likes defense, so he could have gone someplace like a Kelly Ferris from Connecticut. But in the end, he decided to go big and created 2/3 of a young, exciting future front line. And here is where we end the introductions from President Ritchie on our podcast, and we just go straight to interviews and discussions that I was able to have directly with the players for the most part. So first up, here is Kelsey Bone from Texas A&M and her new teammate, Oklahoma State forward Tony Young.
Congratulations on being
Thank
drafted.
You.
So New York,
yes.
You're used to, like you said, you're used to Houston, you're used to cities. So New York, I'm sure, is
right.
a phase.
Right.
But Bill Laimbeer on the hand. Now you're working. You're used to Gary Blair,
exactly.
That Southern gentleman.
Yes,
now
yes,
that
yes,
now
yes,
you're
yes,
dealing
yes.
with the bad boys.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I was actually having a conversation with Cheryl Sloops the other day, and we were talking about Coach Blair, and I said he's different, you know, because Coach Blair is different. If you're not used to it, that Southern gentleman, that drawl, it gets a little interesting. And so she said, "Well, is he Bill Laimbeer different?" And I said, "Well, no. You know, if Bill Laimbeer is hot, Coach Blair is 30 below zero." And you know, it's funny because Bill Laimbeer, his demeanor, his personality is a lot like my mother's. I was raised on sarcasm. I was raised on, you know, if I think it, I'm going to tell you I think it, and I don't really care the consequences about it. I don't care how you feel about it. He came and spoke to us at rookie orientation, and he had some things to say that he probably shouldn't have said, but he really didn't care that he said it. And so for me, I relish in environments like that. I don't have a problem. You know, he said, "I don't yell. But I use sarcasm. So if the huddles, everybody's laughing in the huddle and you're not, that's because I've got you. So I'm excited about the opportunity.
You know, there's a lot of great posts in New York right now. A lot of physical posts.
Yes.
And that's something that I've always enjoyed about your game is the fact that you're not afraid of the physicality.
Right.
So practice could be fun.
Oh, practice is going to be amazing. You know, whereas I'm used to having, you know, in college they had to beat me up with the pad because there wasn't really anybody that could do anything that would really faze me any much. But when you start talking about having the opportunity to go in and practice every day against Kara Braxton, Planette Pearson,
Cheryl Ford,
I can't say enough about how I grew up watching her game. I mean, just her tenacity and her knack for the ball. I get an opportunity to go in and learn from these women, and that was a big part of my decision. You know, when the 4 or 5 pick kind of started coming up, if I went into the draft, that's where I would fall. And then Coach Lambeer takes the job, and then he makes all of these major moves in the offseason. It would have been easy for me to go back to school and dominate practice. It would have been easy, but would that have really and truly prepared me for this level, which is what I ultimately want to do with my life? And I didn't think so. But having an opportunity to go against them every day will. And so it was a win-win situation for me with my decision either way, but I'm just happy it worked out for me.
Well, and then the other side of that, of course, is now every night, Tina Charles, Sylvia Fowles.
Most definitely. And the beauty that I find in that is that I'll have a little help on my side. I won't be facing them alone. I have a little help on my
side. And they know all the dirty tricks.
Yes.
New teammate over there, Ms. Bone.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how excited she was about joining New York and the physicality that they're going to bring. Now, you got the hops. You're kind of on the lean side there. Now, what are you going to do to Cheryl Ford and Planette Pearson in practice?
You know, playing in the Big 12, I play against Brittany Griner a good 2-3 times a season. So I'm used to being hit on the court. I've even played Kelsey Bone a few times, and she's really physical. I don't mind being pushed around. You know, I'm a post. I'm a small post, but I don't mind banging.
And what do you look forward to most about now being in the WNBA with the different rules and, you know, different lifestyle and things like that? I mean, is it something that really, you know, you're excited about being drafted, but there's a lot of changes. Something that really appeals to you?
It's exciting because I officially know that, you know, I still have to make the team, but I know that basketball doesn't end at college. You know, I have more to look forward to if I just put the work at it.
Sandwiched between the New York Liberty's two picks was the pick of Brian Agler and the Seattle Storm at number 6. Now, the Storm were in the strange position of being a contender every year, but now suddenly having to face one season without two of the best players in the world, guard Sue Bird and forward center Lauren Jackson. So they obviously had some places that they needed to fill for this year in either of those two locations. Now, the player that they selected was one of the great stories, in my opinion, of the college basketball season this year. Tiana Hawkins of Maryland averaged only about 12 points a game last year. But this year, with injuries forcing her to play big minutes and her taking advantage of that time by adding on more to her game, Hawkins was up to over 18 points a game this year, and a lot of people thought that she could be selected by the hometown Washington Mystics at number 4. I think that Tiana actually thought that a little bit, as you could tell by her reaction when I asked her about the surprise of going cross-country and playing for the Seattle Storm instead of staying in the D.C. area.
Tiana, congratulations on being drafted. So first, let's ask the question, what do you think of your new locale?
I mean, it's no need. I'm going to have to adjust. It's something that I would have to adjust to, but I'm ready and I'm looking forward to it.
It's definitely an interesting team this year. It's kind of an odd mix. So tell us, how do you want to fit in? What do you expect to bring in?
Well, I want to fit in really well in the system. I want to bring my rebounding ability and just my ability to shoot from the perimeter.
Now, this past year really was a huge year in development for you. Your game really went up considerably. What was the difference? I mean, it was a phenomenal improvement to watch. It was a great thing.
I mean, it's just coming out with confidence and knowing that this year was my last year. And unfortunately, my team, we were struck with a few injuries where I had to step up. Yeah, a few injuries where I had to step up. And I think that showed in my game this year.
Now, Coach Freeze has done a lot, has put some people out there now, and it's get, you know, Crystal Langhorne, everybody talks about comparing you. how does it feel to know that you got that legacy? And that's kind of something in your back pocket that you know that she's done so well getting you guys ready.
I mean, it's a great legacy. I mean, Coach B, Coach Freeze, she's a great coach. I mean, coming out of high school, she believed in me, but everyone didn't. So she saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. So to stand here today with her on my side is just a great feeling.
So after Hill went at number 4 to Washington, there was a little bit of a run on posts as Bone went at number 5, Hawkins at number 6, then Young at number 7, and then at the number 8 position, the San Antonio Silver Stars took the first player that was not in attendance, a player that I've seen several times playing for the Syracuse Orange in the Big East up here in Connecticut, and that is center Kayla Alexander. She is a very, very talented offensive player. She needs to work on developing some more physicality and playing some good defense and needs to definitely improve on her rebounding. But she has good instincts offensively, and on San Antonio, a team that has been missing points in the paint from their center position, she could be a person that gets a lot of minutes right off the bat. Which brings us to the number 9 pick in the draft and the defending champions, the Indiana Fever. You know, what can you do to improve on a team that just won a championship? I guess the only thing I could really say is you can work on their depth, because there are some injury issues in the past. There's some injury issues with Jeanette Poland still recovering from a knee injury that's going to sideline her for a while. So the Indiana Fever went for the Mohawk. The Mohawk is going to Indianapolis as California's Laisha Clarendon, a player who a lot of people had not heard of because of the fact that she was out west and did not get a lot of television play. A player that showed a mid-range game and leadership and clutch play in the NCAA tournament that pushed her right up into the top 10 in the WNBA draft. I did get a chance to talk to Laisha, and she is as much fun as you would anticipate a girl wearing a Mohawk would be.
So congratulations, the Indiana Fever, defending champions. A great place to be, no question about it. So the first question is the Mohawk taking on Indianapolis?
Oh, without a doubt. I think that's kind of my new basketball identity. So I hope the coach doesn't mind it too much, and I hope, you know, Tamika likes it. She saw me, so we should be good.
I'm telling you, Coach Lindon, nothing phases Coach Lindon as long as you can understand her. But that draw. But seriously, now Coach Gottlieb has done a phenomenal job getting you ready. Now, what is it in particular that you are most proud of in the adjustments in your game, and what do you think is going to help you in the WNBA?
I think being a really consistent kind of mid-range player for us and kind of being our steady leader and being poised throughout the entire year. And what was your second part, preparing for the...
What are you looking forward to bringing to the table for the Fever?
Definitely being that... You know, they're looking for a backup point guard and being versatile and being a kid who can come in and play the one or come in and play your two guard and kind of being someone who's going to be a leader and elevate the game and not have anything kind of slack off when they sub someone in.
Now, they're a team that shot an incredible amount of three-pointers last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that something that you're looking forward to? You've made some, obviously, but that mid-range game of yours has been killer. So, now, are you looking forward to trying to extend that and hitting that three-point line a little bit more?
Definitely. That's something that I got asked a few minutes ago, is what do I want to improve on the most? And I want my three-point shot to be just as consistent as my mid-range jumper. So, I'll be working on that.
Now, you got all these kids from Cal that are getting better. And, you know, you're setting the table for Brandon coming in and
mm-hmm.
then Boyd coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a leadership job you did this year. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about being a leader and what that means
mm-hmm.
to you?
Being a leader to me mostly is leading by example, being consistent, being steady. I just really tried to be the rock for my team this year and, you know, kind of still faced, even if inside I was like, oh, my God, how are we going to win this game? We're down 10, you know, with a couple minutes left. And just being really steady for us. And I really hope I'm paving the way. I was talking to Lindsay at the table, and she said she was telling them she better be at these drafts, you know, the next couple of years with people like Brandon coming in and then Boyd, so talented. And I'm really proud to kind of be their leader and set the way for them to come.
Thank you very much.
This is Ivy Matthews, 5'9", guard, plays for the University of Kentucky, and currently SEC champ. And you listen to Dixon and Swisher.
Los Angeles Sparks were the next team on the clock, and they also went for a player that was not in attendance, but a good guard nonetheless. Adia Mathis from Kentucky has played that 40 minutes of dread defense that Carol Ross is going to just love having in Los Angeles. Plus, she has been somewhat inconsistent, but a really strong scorer at times. So the Sparks have got a good pick there that they'll be able to do something with and break into the league slowly. So we're up to the 11th pick in the first round of the WNBA draft, and it belongs to the Connecticut Sun. Now, the Sun, everybody assumed, would be just be looking for the best available athlete, but that was before Asia Jones, the all-star power forward, decided to sit out the season with nagging injuries. And then Danielle McRae, the shooting guard they were counting on getting some more play out of on the wing this year, suffered a torn Achilles tendon, eliminating her from the equation. So when University of Connecticut star forward guard Kelly Ferris was still on the board at number 11, the Connecticut Sun decided to make the Connecticut Husky faithful happy and also, of course, give themselves a player that they know is a professional that can give them strong minutes at a couple of different positions and is an intelligent player on the court at all times.
And I just said, you know, I wasn't ready to leave Connecticut yet anyway, so this is great. Can't explain what this feels like. It's a dream come true, and the fact that I get to stay here in Connecticut where I've really built a strong family and play with past players and teammates, you know, Tina and Renee and Kalina. I can't wait to go see, you know, if I got a text from them or anything. Once you're a Husky, you're always a Husky, and it's just a big, strong family that's always going to be behind each other, and especially for the fans that have a fan base behind us, and the fact that I don't have to leave yet is great, so I'm really excited. This was probably the most nervous I've been for a really long time. Just for the fact that I like to have a plan, I like to know what I'm doing, and I had no idea what was going to happen. So definitely nervous, but it's a relief now, and knowing what's going to happen and where I'll be, just ready to get started. The next level is obviously much more competitive and better players, stronger players. Everything is enhanced, and just as the transition from high school to college was difficult, but I eventually learned what I needed to do, whether it was be that spark off the bench, or as the years went by, you know, I ended up having to turn myself into an offensive threat to help the team out. So when I get there, I'm just going to do what I've always done and just work really hard to accomplish whatever it is the coach and the team needs me to do, and I'm going to do the best that I can, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to learn along the way what my role will be.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
So you're staying in Connecticut.
I am.
You're excited?
Yes, very.
Now for the first big question is, you're going to be splitting time with Kalina Green. How fun is that going to be?
You know what? We've been teammates before, and we know how this works, and I think it's good. I know it's good because I know how much we push each other, and having that background, that same background, along with Tina and Renee, why not? Why not be with your teammates that you know how they play and you know how to help them and they know how to help you? And I can't wait. I'm excited.
So they came close last year, and it cost the coach the job. They didn't get as far as they should have in April's minds. What is it that you're going to bring to the table that pushes them that next step, and without Asia being a part of the equation too?
You know, I think, like I mentioned there, I'm not necessarily going to try to step outside of myself and try to become this amazing player that and add things that I was never, you know, part of my game.
Thanks,
but I think I just need to keep doing what I've been doing and work extremely hard and put my heart and dedication into it and do all the little things, and then at the same time figure out what that role is and what things they need me to improve on. And like I did in college, you know, eventually I had to improve my offensive end, and I will continue to work on that as well.
Is that in particular something that is your predominant focus, is being more aggressive offensively?
Definitely. You know, over the past 2 years, especially the last one, I've really tried to work on that, and that's definitely something that I'm going to have to continue to improve as I get to the next level.
As I mentioned earlier, after the Skylar Diggins selection and my opportunity to talk to Nielle Ivey, I had a similar chance after Kelly Ferris was drafted, and it was nice to talk with Connecticut assistant coach Shea Ralph about Kelly Ferris making the WNBA.
She's a student of the game. She's so smart. She's got a great IQ, and you can tell she just wants to keep getting better every day. So to see that happen for her in such a dramatic way over her 4 years, it just means a lot for us to be able to be here and witness her getting into the WNBA.
Did she have that in her when you first saw her? Did you see her kind of project her to be a pro?
When I first saw her in high school, I knew that she was going to be really good, but I didn't know she was going to turn out to be the way that she did here and mean as much as she did to our program. You could tell she had all the intangible things, and usually those players turn out to be the backbone of your program, but sometimes they don't turn into good pros. I think Kelly has developed herself into the type of player. You know, her shooting has gotten exponentially better. She can score, she can defend, she's a great athlete. She works harder than anybody else on the court, and I think there's a place for somebody like that on every team.
And that place, at least to start her career, for Kelly Ferris will still be Connecticut as the Husky becomes a member of the Connecticut Sun, which brings us to the end of the first round of the WNBA draft this year. One more pick left. The Minnesota Lynx had that pick, and then they also had the second pick of the second round. So we're going to focus on both picks of the Minnesota Lynx right now. And they went for two guards. They selected a point guard who had really dramatically improved her stock in the NCAA tournament, and that's Nebraska Lindsay Moore, who played with poise and passion and grace and really was impressive in the NCAA tournament. And then with the second choice they had, they chose a guard that did not make the NCAA tournament. And that is Tashana Sugar Rogers, who is known as a volume shooter in college, but was very quick to point out that she's a lot more than just that when I talked to her on draft day. But first, let's hear from Lindsay Moore from Nebraska.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been quite a ride, hasn't it? Last couple of years, the Nebraska Huskers have suddenly hit the big time. And, you know, first Kelsey, and now you. How's it feel?
It feels really good just to know that your hard work really does pay off, and it's just a whirlwind. Like, you know, it's so surreal hearing your name called and knowing that, you know, you have a really good chance to play professionally is such an unforgettable experience.
So we're going to work on the Two Lindsays t-shirt?
You know, yeah, I think that'd be really cool. But I'm so privileged and honored to say that I could be a teammate of hers and just to learn from her. I have so much respect for her as a player, and I've loved watching her play, so I can't wait to even play with her.
You've had some great teammates, but I don't know if you've quite had finishers like Maya Moore and Rebecca Brunson to name two. So that must be something as a point guard that's exciting.
Absolutely. You know, even though college didn't necessarily show it, I just love to pass the ball, and if I can just do that, I will totally do that. I'd rather have 20 assists than 20 points in any given game. So the fact that I can just distribute the ball and we have playmakers on the team is just going to be so exciting and so cool to be a part of.
And you had a great regular season, but the postseason seemed to elevate you in the draft based on what the coaches said. Can you talk for a second about what it was like, what was different that you were able to turn up in the postseason?
Honestly, I think I was just looking to be more aggressive. I knew that at any point in the season, you know, in the postseason, that our season could be over. And I didn't want to quit playing with those girls because I had such a great time with them. And I just wanted our season to go as far as it could. And so I just, if that meant that I needed to do a lot more, then I was going to do a lot more to see that happen.
And now Georgetown's Sugar Rogers.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. My whole family back home is excited. My family here is excited.
So what do you think about going to a team that's as strong and as talented as Minnesota? The players that are on that team are certainly going to make your job as a distributor a lot easier.
I mean, definitely. Open up the court. You know, I could be that spark off the bench if I need to. I'm just ready to come in and play my role.
So now, you were one of the players that unfortunately didn't make the tournament this year, so a lot of people didn't see you as much as some of the others. Now, being in the Big East, we saw what you could do, especially in that tournament.
Yeah.
So talk for a second about what your game is, what people should expect for you when they see you going for the Minnesota roster.
Yeah, I can do a lot of things. I definitely defend, rebound, share the ball. You know, I score. Everybody thinks I'm a scorer, but I'm not just a scorer. I do the little things also.
So now the big question is, Cheryl Reeve is big on defense. Now, Coach TWF was real tough on defense, but things slipped a little bit this year. So now let's talk about the defensive intensity that you're going to bring to the team this year.
Yeah, we defend. We, how far as Georgetown, we defended. We chop the ball all the time, you know, play that man-to-man when we had to. But, you know, I like playing defense. I can't really control offense. I can't control if the ball goes. But I can control if I'm sliding my feet, trying to cut my man off.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sandwiched between the two Minnesota picks, there was the first pick of the second round of the WNBA draft. And I sort of saved that one for last because I just wanted to use it as an example of you never can tell exactly what's going to happen with the results of a draft. So if you're disappointed by who your team got, be careful because you never know what's going to happen. Now, last year, the Atlanta Dream was without a first-round pick, and they sat there, and Tiffany Hayes from UConn fell to them in the second round. Hayes went on to be a key part to a successful Dream season, got a lot of minutes on the court, and really was an important part of the team as the season wore on. So here we sat, first pick in the second round, Atlanta Dream on the clock, and once again, they got a player who has a legitimate chance to be a real key contributor to that roster.
With the 13th pick, the Atlanta Dream select Alex Bentley from Kent State University.
So Alex, congratulations on being the newest member of the Atlanta Dream.
Thank you.
Now, last year,
yeah,
I stood here and the Atlanta Dream sat at the beginning of the second round and one Tiffany Hayes,
yeah,
slid to them. People didn't know why then, and she turned out to be all rookie. So now Alex Bentley slides to them. Same situation. Same situation going to happen this year?
I don't know. You know, I'm just, honestly, I'm lost. I'm lost right now. I'm just thinking about Atlanta right now, and I just can't wait to get there, and I can't wait to play.
You know, it's a team, you know, as Mel said, that you helped build the team in Penn State,
yeah,
the state that it is now.
Yes.
Atlanta's a team that's been right there on the cusp.
Right.
Big center in Erica. And Angel,
right.
So they could use a distributor that,
yeah,
can play some D. Now,
and that's me.
As I say, yeah, you know anybody that,
yeah,
fits that?
I think I do. I think her name goes Alex Bentley, so I'm ready to go.
So Coach Cleese is a point guard.
Yes.
Did a great job working as a point guard.
Yes.
So talk about her influence on you as a player, please.
Absolutely amazing. She's a tremendous person. She's definitely a mentor of mine. I'm going to probably be calling her like every day, hey, Co, like, what do I do with this? What do I do about that? But she's taught me a lot, and I've definitely grown under her wing these past 4 years.
So the fans of Atlanta that are seeing you, looking forward to you coming in, what are they going to see out of Alex Bentley?
Oh, they're going to see explosiveness. They're going to see competitiveness, drive, determination. They're going to see me distribute. They're going to see me score. They're going to see me defend.
So there you have it. That puts the wraps on addition and swish in. All around, look at the WNBA draft. Who were the winners? Who were the losers? Right now, there are no losers when you look at a WNBA season coming up. Teams have added a lot of young, talented players that could all make an impact. Some of the players will step right in and have an immediate impact on the court. Players like the 3-C, perhaps Taylor Hill in Washington, and even perhaps as someone like Alex Bentley at the Atlanta Dream. But there are other players that were drafted. There's free agents to be signed. And it's going to be a fun WNBA season. And we're just getting started, getting ready to cover it on Dishin' and Swishin' and on Hoop Feed. And I look forward to being with you each and every week. And I hope that you'll follow along with us on Hoop Feed. And we'll get together again real soon. Thanks.